would you like to be able to save 80 hours per month in your property search? We have Andrew Radigan, and he'll tell us how. He is an Irish property purchase partner. So, Andrew, tell us, how can entrepreneurs save 80 hours per month in their property search? Is the basic idea of hire me.
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
I think, Lily, it's a pleasure to be here. So I think the best way to describe it is entrepreneurs, business owners, and successful C-suite executives are very good at what they do. And sometimes when you outsource what you do for a living, no one can do it the same way you do. So why people use me is they can spend a lot of time stumbling and fumbling around a busy market, wasting time that they don't need to be wasting. So when people hire me or our firm, we basically are like assassins. We make sure we take the burden from their shoulders, set about finding the deal, and come back to them with the results, which means they can continue to climb the corporate ladder.
Thank you. So tell us what we need to know about this method that you have in order to save people time when it comes to their property search. First of all, do you focus in a particular market? Is it just in Ireland? And tell us more about what we need to know around this method that you have.
So at the moment, we specialize on the island of Ireland. And a big part of what I want to do with our business is grow it the right way. And the secret sauce is part of what we do. I originally studied psychology, but I also bring forward psychology, sales, and radical candor, which is, instead of transacting because someone has a certain budget, we push and prod with the right reasons as to what their motivations are. If it's an investment, we look at risks. If it's for personal reasons, we look at lifestyle. And by asking the questions that people think not to ask themselves until they get the keys, we essentially front load all of the work that would be gotten after the fact, which can sometimes lead to regret, frustration, resentment, fear of overpaying. So we essentially ask the questions that need to be asked as if we're part of the process, but we care enough to ask the question rather than gloss over it.
Thank you. What would you say is different versus any other, let's say, property agent that would kind of try to help property wannabes, you know, property owner wannabes to get on the property ladder? What's different from your method and their method?
Having been in the business for about 10 years, I think the biggest approach I take is taking everything that people expect estate agents or real estate agents to be and trying to do the opposite. So oftentimes people will pay me to tell them what they shouldn't do. And a big part of why we process or work with people the way we do, people pay us before we found the property. And the reason I do that is sometimes you need me to look you in the eye and say, Lily, this looks like a good deal. The budget seems good, but there's something here I don't like, and here's why. You need me to stick with you until we find the result. So how we differ ourselves is we take everything you can imagine a yes person may be, throw it out the window, and deliver someone who cares enough about you to have a difficult conversation rather than just take your budget and your money, find you something, and then hope you lose my phone number in the meantime. That's not what I want to do. I want to build for the long term.
Wow, that is fascinating. Tell us, what are your 10 commandments for someone who wants to invest in property? What kind of things should they be looking at?
So I think first and foremost, how you can really inform your next part of the process is actually your property checklist. So before you even enter a market, I would write down all the wants and not wants in your property search. And if it's someone who's looking for a personal residence, we have people internationally that buy in Ireland that may not move back for the next 5 or 10 years, it still applies. Because if you have a burgeoning family now and a growing career, your needs now may change in 10 years' time. So when you work through a property checklist, that very quickly puts your thought process down on a piece of paper. So it gets you very clear on what your hypothesis of what it is you want in your property journey is. Because as we always say, we make plans and God laughs. So when you write things down, you can then take a view to what that means. So first and foremost would be your checklist. Secondly, I would say stakeholder conversations, which is if there's anyone involved, either financially or family-wise, that's supporting you or your significant other, you need to have what I call a safe space conversation, which is a very clear, neutral location where you set out what it is you want to do. You want to give them the platform to be able to talk about their worries, their concerns, their wishes, their anything that may come up, and come from a place of understanding rather than defensiveness. So when you do that, even from an investment point of view, I know successful CEOs that may want to invest €1 million in a property, but if they haven't brought their wife into the fold, they haven't had that discussion with their significant other, they feel like they're not part of the process, and that can breed resentment in the future. So we try and give people that opportunity. Thirdly, I would say your risk tolerance. So when you're buying something, I always say to anyone, when it comes to either your budget or financial approval, you have to be very clear on what your tolerance to risk is. And I will always look at the pessimistic side of the equation, which is, let's close our eyes. Now, I don't have an AI augmented reality opportunity to create a terrible outcome, but I can get them to close their eyes and imagine, what if the market shifts, what if your lifestyle changes, what if your job changes, whatever it may be, what does this particular investment or money mean to you going forward? But then it gets them to think clearly about, okay, well, if I was going to go all in on this particular deal and the market changed tomorrow, do I have the bandwidth to be able to hold firm, or would I have to make some decisions? And I equate it to people deciding to do something when they're hungry. So we all know, if you go to a shop when you're hungry, you will go to the local gas station, you will pick up a sandwich that you hope was made today, but you can't guarantee it. You eat it, you temporarily feel full, and then you wonder why you did that in the first place. So I try and stop people making those poor decisions ahead of time. So then a fourth or fifth would be communication. I'm a huge believer in communication, and a big part of what we do is updates without any update, which means, hi Lily, just to let you know, we'd already reached out to that party. We haven't heard anything as yet, but we're on top of it and we want to let you know we're here. That's communication. Communication throughout every process is going to be the cause of and the solution to all of the problems when it comes to any real estate transaction. Oftentimes, lack of communication or miscommunication will cause inter-party problems, as in parties that are buying property, or miscommunications between agents, sellers, the legal part of the process, and everything else in between. After that, I would always say it's important to be aware of what this means for your ongoing property journey. So if you're thinking of buying something as an investment, if you want to assess something on a smaller base, you say, okay, I was going to spend $1 million. Maybe I'll test the waters at a smaller figure and see what my appetite is for this particular market, and I live to fight another day. So I think it's important for people to not necessarily diversify too much, but it's a case of really assessing what it is they want to do with their money over a particular life cycle. Much like buying into the S&P, if you go all in on Apple, you're reliant on Apple doing well. Much like any particular localized market, if you're all in one area, let's say offices or apartments or houses or a certain location, you're then going to be reliant on that local market. So I ask people to really ask those questions of themselves as to what they want from either their residential journey or their investment journey. And after that, I'm big into, it's, I suppose the personal side of what we do is also networking. I say to anyone, you have to network your ass off. Even if you're extremely busy, I set quotas for at least 15 coffees a month. And the reason I do that is with current clients, past clients, future clients, and my network in general. But that can also facilitate intel. So when you're meeting people and you build a good relationship with them, so if I meet Lily for coffee every couple of weeks and we build a great relationship and I hear about all the events she's been booking, I hear she's just come back from Dubai, we've got a great relationship, and then the time comes where I want some intel, I've built a relationship with you where it's contraflow. You're telling me about your life and what you have going on in your business, and I do likewise. But that can also help when you're understanding deals that come together, because I find properties that never make it to the market because I bought someone a coffee 12 months ago. And for my clients, I always instill that, because the more people you know, the more you can get advice, the more you may have access to better finance options, and equally other potential investment partners or those in your ecosystem as well, much like fellow C-suite investors. I think that brings me to 8 or 9. And for the 10th, I'm going to give you the meaning of life. No, I'm not. I'm going to say that honesty and clarity is the biggest thing. So I build for the long term, and I encourage people when they're doing deals to really look at their motivations. And I think it's important when you work with people that there's no point in taking on a deal for the sake of it. And when you're working with people, you have to have that honesty and clarity as to what it is you want, because there will always be someone to take your money, especially higher net worth people. You need someone who cares about what it is you're looking for and has the kindness with the expertise to tell you no. And wealthy, successful people are not used to being told no. But if I tell you no, coming from a place of kindness, that breeds into why I'm honest and why I'm very clear about how we do things. But it's important when people are doing anything, I think honesty and clarity are overrated, because nowadays it can get lost in social media, but it's an absolute game changer when you meet people who have that honesty to them, because it really colors everything you do with a better tone.
Thank you. What are the types of things that property investors tend to not think about that tends to trip them up in the longer run? You did mention a few things already, but is there anything else that you find is like a recurring theme?
the assumption that, especially in the Irish market, that the asking price is the price it can be bought at. So one of the interesting parts of the Irish market is it's very nuanced. Just because the price is the price, it's not Amazon, and it depends on the circumstances around the sale. So if you have a private individual who says, give me €1 million and I'm finished, that's a done deal. That's different to someone who's having a family breakup, or maybe it's a bank sale that's involved. And unlike the States or other countries, the process is different. That'll be the first thing. The second thing would be not wanting to look at the not so sexy side of the market when it becomes challenging. Everyone assumes in a busy or a hot market that you can do no wrong, you can make no decisions. What goes up must come down. With night comes day. You have to look at both sides. And I think it's important to lean into the what if, because then you can go into it with a more educated approach, as opposed to, you know, your hands over the eyes and just hoping for the best.
Thank you. What tends to take property investors a lot of time that perhaps they could put in place to, you know, what kind of habits could they put in place in order to save those kind of things that tend to take them a lot of time?
So I think, much like anything, it's about taking an approach to what their skill set is. Some people have a natural aptitude for doing deals. Let's say you have someone who's in a business where they're used to putting deals together. They may have an aptitude for speaking with people in a room. If you are coming at any particular opportunity cold, if I need my car serviced, I could spend 20 hours longer than I should looking up YouTube videos on how to service my car, or I can find someone I trust who's honest and clear and will do the job for me and then stand over the job they've done. When it comes to property, it's the exact same. People can run around spending time poorly trying to build relationships in an area or a jurisdiction that they're not familiar with, and then they wonder why it didn't work out. Most of the time in my business, my company vouches for my clients. So it's my name that's on the line, because if someone is based in the United States, Bahrain, China, wherever it may be, an Irish agent has no idea who they are. They're going off who I am. So a big factor for people when they're looking is, yes, they have money, but everyone has money in a certain market. And when you have someone who's advocating for you independently, it means that you can then rely on that person to tell you the truth, but also convey your presence on the ground in your place, rather than you having to fly over yourself.
Thank you. What else would you like on property investors and property entrepreneurs to know about saving hundreds of hours over the long run in their property search?
I say to anyone, I don't look at the return on investment. So the best way to say it to you is, we explain to people that we save roughly about 80 hours a month and up to 8 to 10% on the value of a property. But what I focus on is the cost of inaction. The cost of doing it yourself means you may spend time traveling, you may spend time at viewings, you may spend time with advisors, assessing property prices and trying to understand the nuances of a market. It doesn't matter where it is. Whereas if you were to imagine the cost of investing in someone who will do that for you, you can go about building your business, you can spend time with family, and you can make the most of the time when it comes to your decision-making abilities. And oftentimes the reason why we front load our fees is that we're in it with people until they find that property. If they've had a sad event, if they've had something happen, if they have something in work, we had a client of ours who took ill a number of months ago, they were able to get well while we found the property for them. And that was hugely important. And there's a physical example where they were trying to recuperate, look after themselves, but life went on in other ways because they had people like me. So I would always say, look at the cost of inaction and trying to do it yourself versus outsourcing to someone, and hold them to the right standard. Choose someone that suits your skill set and what it is you want from life, but that'd be a big part of it.
Thank you. What are the reasons why a property investor should consider investing in Ireland at the moment?
I think one of the ways to look at Ireland is we've drastic undersupply at the moment. The supply is not meeting the demand, and that's been the case in Ireland for quite some time. But I think since COVID, a number of people have noticed, or a number of demographics have noticed, that Ireland is in a well-placed position in Europe to be able to connect to the rest of Europe and the rest of the world. So if you're investing in a country like Ireland, we have a number of international companies that have chosen here as their base for a variety of reasons, but lifestyle plays a key factor in why people choose Ireland as well. We are obviously English speaking, which is quite handy for people. We have a very practical climate. We're not the hottest country in the world, but we also don't have any unusual weather events. But I think the biggest thing for people from an investment point of view is we're in Europe, which gives people the opportunity to set up a business or expand their own business. And they're also part of a European Union country that is burgeoning on successful companies that are growing, people that are quite dynamic. And we're attracting a lot of talent in the last number of years. So it's a real growth economy from that perspective.
Thank you. Tell us three case studies of of property entrepreneurs you've worked with that have become really great successes in terms of property?
So I think the best way to describe it is what people think they're going to get from us when they start off, as they assume it's a real estate transaction. They assume that they're going to meet me. I'm going to be in a pinstripe suit. I'm going to be wearing a pink tie. I'll drive in a Bugatti. I'll take their money and I'll sell them a multifamily deal somewhere. But it couldn't be further from the truth. I don't like wearing suits for a start. But essentially, the first example would be a very busy couple. They were part of multinational firms, both in large jobs, very, very busy. They had young children and they spent 3 years looking for property. And this was going to be their Irish headquarters for their family, which was a very important decision. They'd gone it alone for quite some time. And being financially minded, one of them was a CFO, they could not understand what it was that I could do that was going to be any different. And they'd been referred to us by a client who was based in Germany and had loved what we did. So I sat down with them. We found the property in less than 5 months and I saved them over €250,000 on the process by understanding the nuances of the seller, the type of property they were buying, the details around a survey and how to get a reduction on the survey price or the work done to the house by putting forward the right argument to the seller and then guiding them from that throughout that very process. So we took them from 3 years searching in the wilderness to under 5 months to get the keys and saved them €250,000, which was fantastic. The second one was we had a family that had tragic circumstances and they really didn't understand how they were going to continue in their property search. They didn't really know what they were going to do or where they were going to go. They'd had a difficult experience. And oftentimes when you're muddied by either sadness or heartache or frustration, it can be very difficult to make the right decisions. So with my background in originally studying psychology, but it's also my disposition, we set aside about 4 to 5 days to be able to sit with them and discuss what they were going through, to give them that opportunity to get it out of their system, which then built trust, but it also gave them an opportunity to deposit their worries or concerns. When they did that, you'd be surprised how clearly they began to think. So they began to see light at the end of the tunnel, and we again sourced them a property. We saved them just under €100,000, and we got it sorted in probably between 5 and 7 weeks. We found the property and we actually got the legals through quite quickly. So that was a great example. And then the third was, I give you an example of a couple who were based in Germany. They were expats. One of them was Irish. They loved Ireland and they felt priced out of the market for a number of years. And being abroad, they just did not understand the dynamics of the Irish market since they left 25, 30 years ago. And we basically transitioned them from being on the cusp of signing a deal for a property that was wholly unsuitable for them. And we found them a property that basically ticked every single box on their lifestyle. We saved them about €85,000. And we've also given them an opportunity to be able to retire there in the next 10 to 15 years. So that was a lovely thing to be a part of as well.
Thank you. What would you say makes people sometimes choose properties that are totally unsuitable for them?
Two reasons. Wishful thinking, as in it's like finding a partner and they're nothing that you want right now, but you think you can mold it into the perfect partner. So, you know, let's say my wife and I are together 20 years. She met someone who may not have the best fashion sense, but she saw potential and she molded me into the person that you see now. That's what she'd like to tell you. But with property, people don't look at it with eyes wide open. They think that they can change something that may not be changeable, or they think they know better based on current circumstances. So if I was a busy professional and I had no children and I say, well, this is the perfect apartment for me, it's going to suit me, it's in the city center, nothing's ever going to change, I'm never going to fall in love and have children. People then make the decision, obviously they fall in love, they have children, and that changes the dynamics. So a big part of the mistakes people make are they don't look at it clearly, but they also assume that it's okay for now, as opposed to looking at the what if. And again, those are two words that can be a game changer. Even if you're just confirming what you're doing is correct, rather than glossing over something that seems small now, it's much like scratching at a wound. That wound is just going to get bigger and bigger the more you scratch on it. And when you get the keys, you want to love the property more than ever or have it suit your requirements more than ever. Because if you don't, resentment will creep in.
Thank you. What other mistakes do property investors make when choosing a property?
They go too quickly. They do a deal for the sake of doing a deal. And they choose the wrong location because it seems like it's money well spent, as opposed to, we have a phrase here, I don't know if you've ever heard it, which is buy the smallest house on the best street, as opposed to the largest house on the worst street. They're two different transaction types, but I always say to anyone, if you have the budget to wait for an area to improve, that's something you can do. But if you have someone that wants to put their money to work quickly, or they want to buy something that if the market shifts will hold its value, you need to think differently.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
So we're very active on LinkedIn. I post there at least once a day, which is very important to continue connecting and driving value. You may see from my content that it is definitely not tours of properties. It's more usually digging into the psychology of why people buy property and what's involved in it, and obviously life events. We also do a newsletter every 2 weeks called Shut the Front Door. And we have some content on YouTube as well that aims to drive value for people as well.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.